Welcome back to the Unmastered class. I'm Lance Pendleton.
And I'm Jake Dreyfuss.
And for today's hot take, we are joined by the amazing Erin O'Keefe.
Hey guys, good to be here again.
Today we're going to dive into the chaotic world of phone etiquette in 2024. But before we do, we just wanted to thank everyone for the incredible feedback on our launch. We've loved chatting with everybody in the live stream and on social. And we got a couple of interesting things I just want to touch on briefly as some early feedback for a couple of different things. You know, I was at a speaking engagement outside of Philadelphia, and a bunch of people came up to me and they're like, "Oh, we love the podcast. It was so cool. I didn't realize that you were so weird." And I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, that was not the reaction I was going for on that, but I guess that's true. Jake, have you heard anything?
Yeah, same. I got an awesome note from Valerie Dana. Love Valerie. Shout out. Just saying how much she enjoyed the banter. You know, you put yourself out there and you're never quite sure how it's going to sound or what people are going to think. So it's awesome to get the feedback. We appreciate it.
There were two other things that came in. One on Instagram, Margot Wallen said that she had a storage freezer just for her jeans and sweaters.
That's aggressive. No, that's the clothes freezer. Put it in the food freezer, you know?
How long do you think you wait to take the jeans out of the freezer and then put them on? Because I feel like that could be the new cold plunge.
Ooh.
That's a good point. Like, and also, if the power goes out, do you have to throw the sweaters and jeans away?
Immediately. Yes.
According to our food episode, that might be a thing. The other one that I just have to comment on briefly, because I was wildly offended, was the Megan and Katie group at Compass said that socks in bed aren't sexy. And I am offended by that because I think I am a dashing, handsome young man. And how dare you judge me for my choice of keeping my feet and toes warm?
Well, you're the exception because that's all you're wearing are the socks. And that's the difference.
Oh, if
you'll
only
have
you
to
knew.
Book your Skims campaign to prove them wrong.
100%.
Yeah, no, I'm usually wearing like a whole parka. It's a thing. But anyway. Moving into it, let's start the show. I want to, you know, dive in really, really quickly, and we're going to start talking about the first topic. And so this one's going to bring up some stuff. So we talk about etiquette in 2024 and phone etiquette in 2024. Nothing gets me more fired up than the first concept between texting versus calling versus FaceTime. So if we start unpacking this, let's really focus on the texting versus calling first. In a world where we're all glued to the smartphones, when do you tap out a message and when do we hit the dial button?
Well, let's give some context then. So you want to deliver bad news. Text, call, what do you do, Erin?
Well, I feel like it depends on, is it a work relationship? Is it friend, close friend, family, acquaintance? And I think if it's a close friend or it's family, I would just call. Or I guess it depends on how close you are with your family. And if you have their location and know they're at work or like in the middle of something, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That matters. Yep.
So I think it's good to text and say like, "Hey, could I give you a ring?"
Oh, the old text to see if I can call. That's a whole other category. Whoa. You just stumble into. Well, let's give it some context, right? Because the USA Today published an article entitled "Don't Call First." So you can kind of see where the article's going. They basically say that what works for close friends and family is not the same for business nor professional relationships. So, Erin, you're right. Context matters. And also, age can play a role in what is socially acceptable, which is yet a whole other layer. So, it says it's okay to call first if you're reaching out to friends or family or if it's an emergency. Now, raise your hand, audience two, when you get a call from like, you know, a family member and it's a weird time of day, does your brain just like me go to, "Oh my God, it's an emergency. Something's wrong"? Does anyone else do that?
I mean, 100%. First of all, just remember who you're talking to. Like, everything to me equals like someone's dead. I mean, I don't even go into nature because everything in nature is trying to kill me at all times. Like, I'm always going to go to the worst case scenario. So, yes.
Heart stops. Erin, you're saying no. I'm saying
no. I think maybe it's an age thing or just a me personal thing. I'm like, I'll call them later. They just don't know that I'm busy. Like, I feel like it's grandparents usually. And I'm like, oh.
No, Erin. No, your heart should stop. Yeah, and you should imagine the worst case scenario that just happened and they're calling you from the hospital. Like, that's
Erin.
No, mine's more of an eye roll.
Like, how is the Xanax industry supposed to stay afloat if you don't have that reaction? Like, the thing that I get confused by, part of the article was mentioning too, that you don't have to pick up if someone calls you and it's not a good time? What about that one?
I'm 100% camp. I agree with that. I don't pick up. I do have the pre-written text message that says, "Hey, I'm on a call. Can I give you a ring back soon?" I have that queued up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, I remember when call waiting was like the big invention of our childhood. Aaron probably has no idea what I'm even talking about. Lance and I, right. And so, oh, hold on. I got another call. Like that doesn't, you know, so I'm not going to interrupt the meeting. Generally, like, unless I know I'm expecting the call and it's about something very quick, you'll get a text even before you've left a voicemail. Like, I'll call you back.
And I'm super curious, Aaron, do you know what call waiting is?
I do know what call waiting is. I do. It brings another question to mind for me that I feel like is a little bit before my time, but it's referenced in television and movies, and that's screening calls. And I feel like I do the modern day version of screening my calls, which is like, I don't pick up. You can text me or leave a voicemail and tell me what you need, and then I'll decide whether or not that's a call. But so was screening calls like a thing of the 90s?
Well, you just opened up a can of worms. We also had, what was it, caller ID that showed up as part of like mind-blowing technology, where all of a sudden we could see who it was. And then when we didn't want to answer, we'd wait for the answering machine to pick up, another buzzword for our 80s kids. And then we'd sit next to it, waiting to hear the message while they were leaving. And if it was great, we'd pick up the phone. Hey, I'm here.
And not to mention that you had to hope that you didn't run out of tape on the answering machine where you had to flip it over because then you didn't get messages anymore because there was no more tape left on the machine. So, so screening calls was a thing. There was a whole process involved in all of that. But what I want to ask next is part of the article, which again, this is a fascinating one for me. When is the right time to leave a voicemail? Well, the article said people in their 20s and 30s say never. And I will tell you right now, I am 48 years old, and maybe it's because, you know, I always think chronologically I'm 48, emotionally I'm like I'm 14, but maybe I fit into my 20s and 30s on a good day, because please don't ever leave me a voicemail. There is no need to leave me a voicemail. I saw you called. I will call you back. And even more so, not only that, like most of the time what frustrates me, and this is probably more like my parents. Like my parents love leaving voicemails. They leave these like 6.5 minute long voicemails.
Yeah.
And then I call them. And they're like, oh, did you listen to my voicemail? And I'm like, no. And they're like, why? And I said, because you're about to just tell me anyway the exact same thing you just left me on the voicemail. Whether I want you to or not, you're just going to repeat the whole story again.
100%.
So,
I think it's another context thing. Because I'm 30. And I like a voicemail, but I feel like you bring up a good point. Like, I don't get like a 6 minute voicemail. And I probably wouldn't listen to like a voicemail from my Oma, God bless her, I love her, but I would just pick up the phone and call her back. So I wouldn't listen to her voicemail, but like in a business setting, if you called and you didn't text me saying what you needed, like I would listen to the voicemail to know what you were calling in regards to mentally prepare to call you back and for what we're going to be discussing. It like takes away the anxiety of the unknown, which I think is what freaks 20 and 30 year olds, or I guess 22, 30 year olds out about phone calls, is that you don't know what's going to be said to you. You feel like you have to respond immediately because it's a conversation. You don't have the time to think and then text or reply.
This is fascinating. Side note, new feature, Apple, allow me to adjust the playback speed of my voicemails.
Yeah, that would be great.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I will leave I don't leave a voicemail the first time I call. So if I really wanted to talk to Lance, for example, I'd call him. He didn't pick up. I would not leave a voicemail. I might text depending on what it was. If I do, though, really want to talk to him, the second time I call back, I will leave a message.
Interesting.
Yep.
That is interesting.
It's my tactic because I'm like, all right. Because then I know Lance, but the second time I call him, he's going to be like, something's wrong. And he's probably going to pick up.
Yeah. I'll give you a bad etiquette part on mine. And this is because I know people have do not disturb. So I also know that if you call back a second time in under 2 minutes, it'll push it through, even though they're on do not disturb, which I know is terrible. But a lot of the people that I work with, they put it on do not disturb and they forget that they had it on do not disturb. And I'm like, we have an appointment right now, like a literal meeting right now. And so I know it's not the best thing to do, but, you know, I slide that one in there from time to time.
Well, let's take this a step further. Is it okay to randomly FaceTime someone? Reddit says by the way, and Reddit knows. It's the, well, a user on Reddit said, it is the same as walking into someone else's home uninvited. Discuss.
I think FaceTime is reserved for, unannounced FaceTimes are reserved for the closest friends. Or my sister, because with the caveat that she had a baby 8 months ago, so I wouldn't see the baby. But if it's not my two closest friends, and there's only two, and I have several best friends, but only two can do an unannounced FaceTime that I would answer. Unless I'm already ready for the day. If I have my hair, my makeup, and my clothes on, then I would answer a random FaceTime.
Interesting. There's a lot of caveats to that. But
everything I say is contextual. I don't have a black and white answer for
anything. I will not. Well, yes, you're right. If chances are from getting unannounced FaceTime is from like, it probably has children involved. It's probably from someone I know that wants to show something their kid's doing. So yes, it's probably gonna be like a safe pickup. But another example, like last night, my good friend Amanda Churchwell loves going out, doing her thing, and she'll give me a little FaceTime when she's out because we have that kind of connection. And but I was like making dinner for the kids, like that can't happen. Can't pick that up now, right? So generally the answer is gonna be no, not picking it up unless it's close friends and family. And I would not do it to someone else. In fact, I don't know if I ever have. Unless it was like, hey, look who I bumped into from high school that we haven't seen in 1,000 years or something like that.
Right.
Some random.
That's a common.
But not for like every day. I see people walking through the supermarket shopping. Like, they're not even holding the phone up. It's just like staring at the ceiling. I'm like, why? Just the phone is the same thing. Why not the phone?
So I'm so glad you said that because I've been sitting here rocking back and forth for those of you that can't physically see me because this is one of my biggest pet peeves in life. And this is where I turn into Larry David because I can't handle this aspect of society. I don't know when it happened. I don't know what prompted it. I don't know when it became okay. But the fact that people will just get on FaceTime in public and just yammer on, I have no idea when this became some type of acceptable behavior in practice. I was on a flight, literally on a flight the other day. A couple of months ago, actually, I was on a flight and the person sitting in the aisle across from me decided that as we are taxiing down the runway about to take off, that she's going to FaceTime people on the flight and literally started into, I told Melvin that he needed to buy bigger pants because the pants that he bought didn't fit really good. And I was unsure because he returns them all the time. And I was like, what are you doing? First of all, I don't care about Melvin's problems of his pants being too tight. And congratulations if Melvin's your husband. Second of all, why are you doing this? Well, they just told you to turn all this off. It doesn't matter where we are anymore. It doesn't matter. To your point, Jake, in the supermarket, walking down the aisle, I don't want to hear your conversation. I don't care who you're talking to. To me, this should be like one of the markers as to whether or not you can actually procreate. I'm serious. Like whether you're qualified to have children should be whether or not that you think that's an acceptable practice in the world. So it blows my mind regularly that people do this and I just want to slap the phone out of their hands. Well,
it's like the evolution of the public speakerphone guy. Now I'm just going to add video to it. That's going to make it better. Like, no.
And, but your point too, they're not even looking at it. It's not like pointed looking. At the ceiling or it's like the floor. I'm like, what are you doing?
And like, Frank, the practical side of me is like, you're wasting your battery. Just call them. You know, that's dumb, but it's true. It's really what I'm thinking. Like, this is what a waste of battery.
Oh man, we can move on before okay, I actually have like a small coronary. But yeah, no, that's one of my biggest ones. So no, I don't do a lot on the FaceTime unless there's something really super exciting that I want somebody to see. And even then,
spend all day on it. You spend all day video. Yeah. I don't want video. Yeah, anyway, go on.
Okay. No, I agree. No speakerphone, no video calls in public.
So
the and it thing, brings to mind that we should have a whole episode on plane etiquette because I have a really great story that involves FaceTime on a plane as well. Yeah. It's too long to share it.
I would love to hear from our audience too if you want us to do a whole thing on plane etiquette and things that we should have learned when we were younger and stuff like that because I would love to have that conversation because Jake, you and I also travel a lot for talks and conferences and work and stuff like that and I guarantee you there would be hours of stories of things that, as Aaron just said, that we could go off on. But,
oh, yes.
So one thing that came up also, too, though, in regard to texting, is punctuation in a text message judgy? Like ending things with a period versus not? Like should we be using proper punctuation or?
Yeah, yes, but you don't have to end the text with a period. Like, don't give me one run-on paragraph without a period in between. But you don't have to put a period at the end. You know, maybe that's talking about.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, you use punctuation throughout, but then for the last sentence, you don't put a period there. That's mean.
Right, and do emojis count as punctuation? And what's our position there? Like, I'm not an emoji guy. I would say
if anything, you could replace the period with an emoji, but you don't have to.
Right, but don't
put the period.
I now know we need that with you, though, because everything's contextual with you. So I have no idea how you're feeling or what you're thinking if you don't give me an emoji in there. I'll give you the one that for me that texting becomes frustrating. I can't stand it when someone doesn't give me a complete thought. What do I mean? When I'm sitting there and my phone goes, bloop, bloop,
bloop. They're giving you a complete thought. It's just multiple messages.
It's one sentence and one sentence and one sentence. Just stop. Take a moment. Take a breath. The sun is warm. The grass is green. We're in a safe, happy place. Come up with a complete thought. Write it out and I will respond. But it's just one sentence, sentence, sentence,
extreme
sentence.
Stream of consciousness. Sting.
Oh, it's abuse. It is abuse. I'm sorry. That is should be a feature in Guantanamo for a torture thing. Like, no.
Well.
That doesn't bother either of you?
No, it does.
It depends.
It does.
Everything depends.
That bothers you though, Jay.
No, it bothers me. Like, just take a breath. Like, I'm cool with like 2 to 3 in a row. But if we're like a total screen scroll with like 10 or 11, like too many. Too many. Like, which that could have been a voice note, which we'll get into. That's a whole other part of this we'll get into in a moment. Speaking of text and emojis. It's not just about that anymore. What are the most used ones on your phone? Are you like the hands praying people? I'm just like a smiley face or a thumbs up guy. That's all I'm doing.
There's like 3.
You can look. You can see.
Yeah,
you can
usually it's like out, the crying look. Thing, the smiling thing, and a poop emoji. Beyond that, I don't. My repertoire. Totally right. Yeah, it's not very big.
Okay. Well,
I have the little 3 yellow like sparkle diamonds.
Oh.
You know those?
I don't know what that is. No.
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
The knife.
Knife?
The knife. And it's at an angle, so it looks like you're going like that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And thumbs up.
When do you use a sparkle diamond? What would be the contact?
All the time.
I've never gotten one. What would you?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Disappointed.
It's multifaceted. There are a range of times you could use it.
I mean, Aaron and I work together, so I get the knife frequently, but I don't use sparkle diamond. I haven't gotten it in a while.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the crying laughing emoji is a hot topic. I think younger people think it's really cringy.
Ooh.
And it makes them uncomfortable. But I think older people tend to use it a lot.
I feel like
I never used it. And recently I've started using it more. And I don't know if it's because I turned 30 or if it's because I'm regularly communicating with people that are older than me.
Well, as someone who's older than you, I can't even see the tears on that emoji. Like, my eyes aren't good enough to even see. I can't tell the difference between the smile emoji and like, are you crying, laughing? I don't care. I'm assuming you're happy. I can't even see it. They're so small. How are you supposed to see that?
No. Do you have the large text on your phone?
No, I don't.
I do. Not only do I have it, my teen children take every opportunity to laugh at me because they're like, dude, I can read all of your text messages from 3 rooms away. And I'm like, and
I'll talk about you to your face.
I'm talking about you here too.
That closes over it.
Oh,
no.
Do you have the
one
piece?
That's a total mom move.
The wrist strap?
Yeah, with the cards inside and everything. Yeah.
So we're now entering the territory of like this. Clearly we don't understand emojis, but Lance, you want to talk about the article from parenting.com that we found? It's about new language here for teens.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. There's a whole new language out there. Jake and I don't know what any of these things mean. So Aaron, would you like to play a little game so that everyone listening can try this and we can maybe get enlightened?
Apparently.
So I will share some hot slang and you guys are going to guess what you think these terms mean.
How hard could this be?
Well, these are so this is slang that's used by like teenagers, just to or like cool people.
Yep. Teen slang.
Yeah. Teens, maybe like 20s. Should I start off hard or easy?
Just give it to us.
Just do it. We got this. Because I'm not going to get any of this.
Okay. We'll start with, I feel like this was like not a word of the year, but something in that vein. Riz.
Spelled, please.
The spelling bee. Could you use it in a sentence?
Can you use it in a sentence, please? no, that would be cheating. No, Riz. Jeez, I have no idea. I feel like it's a good thing. Riz.
Do you want me to use it in a sentence?
Yeah.
Sure.
He's got Riz.
That did nothing for me.
Style. He's got the je ne sais quoi. He's got something. Yeah. He's got the
mozzie. I should have probably picked a person.
Not my cringy.
Modeling has Riz.
Abs.
Thousands of women that want him.
No, see me.
A hint is it's a part of a bigger word that isn't frequently used.
Oh, that really narrowed it down.
No idea. Give it to me. No, what does it mean?
I'm lost. What does it mean?
It's short for charisma. So someone who's charming or has game.
Okay.
So you're right. It's a good thing. Close.
Okay. All right. Give us one more. Clearly, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, you need more than one more, but.
We'll go with, do you guys know what yassify means?
Something with Kanye West.
No, yass. Like Y-A-S-S-I-S.
Oh, that's right. It's when you're saying yes to someone in order to pacify them. Yassify.
Oh.
No, damn, that was a good one.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Yeah. What's the origin?
There are a popular series of memes with public figures yassified, such as Joe Biden.
What's a meme?
Fun of? Well, like, poke fun
of? It's a dramatic makeover or to apply several beauty filters to a picture until the person is totally unrecognizable. So, like, a yassified Joe Biden would be with like a filter to make him look like he has a lot of really intense plastic surgery and like a crazy outfit. So it comes from like, I guess like, yes, queen. Like, yes, so you're like yassifying something, making it.
I want one more of these before we move on, because this is both, it really actually quite interesting and making me feel super old. Mm-hmm. But Aaron, do you know what these mean? Like, before you saw these, did you know if someone said yassified, you know what this is? Oh
yeah.
My God, this is terrifying,
Josh. Whoever's worried about the future of the planet really shouldn't be. I mean,
no.
This is this makes sense.
Go ahead. Sorry, give us another one.
One more.
Okay. Your last one is Chuggy.
Oh, spell, I know, please. This. I won't say it.
Wait,
I know.
Give me a do you spell it, please?
It's spelled Cheugy.
And Jake, the only reason I know this is because my teens tell me this.
You're a dork? Does that mean you're a dork?
Oh, you're getting warm. Or
bad parent?
No.
Really?
No, I'm just spitballing here. No,
what
that's not it.
Okay. Make you think that simply because I use an e-collar on them like the dog? That doesn't make me a bad parent.
I don't know. I got nothing.
So it's something that is out of date or a person who is trying too hard.
That would be me, because I use terminology that's not cool anymore around them, and they're like, "That's so chuggy," and I'm like, "Wait, what? Did you just
where's that? What's
fat?
The origin?
Like,
of
what
that?
Happened?
How does that make sense?
I don't know what it comes from, what the root word is."
Okay, so Jake, here comes the cool part. So at this point in the program, we're now going to reverse it, and we're going to ask Erin terminology from the '80s, and she has to then say, "Tell us what it means." All right, Erin, you ready?
I'm ready.
Gag me with a spoon.
You're so dark.
Like, I feel like that's not from the '80s. It's later. Like, gag me. Like, ugh, gross.
No, that's a true '80s term, and it means like, yes, it means that that's like I'm actually like having
like eye roll.
Yeah. It was the early forms of eye roll. Jake, what were your favorite '80s terms?
Tubular.
Mm.
Rad, bitchin'.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like totally. In the same vein as those.
Uh-huh. Totally.
Okay.
Like totally tubular. Like, well, probably Southern California origin. Yeah, right.
As if.
All right. Well, we got to move on here, guys. So we touched on a lot of hot button topics about communication. The next one, I'm sure will be as well, is voice memos. One form of communication text aren't really using, but we should discuss is that, right? So dropping voice messages in people's in text chains, is it convenience or is it a cringy thing?
This is finally not a contextual one for me.
Oh, okay.
Tell us.
Across the board, jail. I hate them.
40% of Americans surveyed by Preply.com, 40% of people say they're a good replacement for phone calls. 50% say they've strengthened relationships. That's old. 30% say they're annoying. And millennials in general find the voice notes inconvenient, but baby boomers seem to love them.
Most of the time, I'm always somewhere where it's inconvenient to stop and listen to it. But also, especially if it's a long one and it's about something you're collaborating on, you have to keep replaying it. Yep. and figure out, okay, these were their 3 points that I need to respond to. And it's so much easier just to have it in writing or a phone call where you can respond like as they go.
And like, here's the thing, Aaron, too, like, cause I've been guilty of leaving them. Generally just responding to someone who already left me one, though. I generally don't go to it naturally, but maybe you can relate. Like when I'm leaving one, I'm like wandering around the house. I'm cleaning the blinds I haven't cleaned in a month. I'm like reorganizing the fridge. So the message is longer. And I'm not sure if everyone else does that, but I definitely like.
No, I totally ramble I'll reply. Like you meet them where they're at. Well, some people I'm like, no, I'm not even stooping.
Right.
I'm texting. Stooping. But yeah, I always ramble. Yeah. They're always rambling. It's like worse than the stream of consciousness texting that you hate, Lance.
Oh, totally. But I really do question some of the statistics on this survey.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. Yeah.
Preply.com. I mean, the fact that I can see millennials finding them inconvenient, but baby boomers love them. I don't know that a baby boomer would even know how to record that on their phone, let alone
when they discover it. I feel like it's it harkens back to a simpler time when voicemails were you got them home. Is your answering machine light blinking? Right? Remember that, Lance, coming home from the movies? Yeah. Hey, who called me? Like, it harkens back to a simpler time. Like the Wonder Years.
I think the only way that they could have strengthened relationships is because people started blocking people that left them voice memos and then dedicated more time to the other people in their life.
You can do that?
You
can block voicemail memo?
You can block a phone number.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, okay.
The other problem with the voice memos, though, is that Apple's default is they disappear. So again, it's one of those things where I'm sort of like, well, did you just tell me something that you intentionally, like, a la Inspector Gadget style, was going to like self-destruct in 30 seconds? That was a show, Aaron, back in the 80s for us when we were younger.
Inspector Gadget. Go Gadget. Knife emoji.
Dun, 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 dun. So, but that, right? Like, why does it need to disappear?
If someone gives me a voice message unannounced, as part of a chain, I'm probably just going to pick up the phone and call them, or like text and say, let's just chat. Like, let's talk about this, you know, then more likely do that than respond. But
I will tell you the only time that I use it, and I would love your opinion on this, because I agree. I don't really like it. I find it annoying. I used to have a business partner that every morning I had a new voice memo and I wanted to fling myself out a window. I was like, please stop it. I don't want to start my day with your voice in my head. But what I will ask is this, the only time I will use it is when I get stuck playing phone tag with somebody and I'm like, I just need you to understand this one thing and we don't need to keep doing this, right? Where it's longer than a text because I'm like, I just need you to get this concept and then we don't need to keep doing this. So that's the only time I've really done it. Is that acceptable or not?
It's an escalation. It's like, all right, I'm going to take this to the next level. I'm not yet ready to commit to a phone call with you though, but I'm trying to prove a point. I'd like you to stop is what I'm hearing from you on that. And I think I've done that too. But that's
interesting because I didn't, Aaron, what do you think? Because I didn't think about it like that. My thing was like, you're busy, I'm busy, we keep missing each other. I don't want to keep trying to remember that I have to call you because you called me, so I'll just do it. Is that what, Aaron, what do you think?
I think it's kind of like a voicemail in that sense. I did realize that I do occasionally use them, but in a joking manner, and they're only like 5 seconds long. So sometimes I'll just randomly send my friends a voice memo where I'll be like, welcome to the Eras Tour. That's how Taylor Swift like opens the Eras Tour. Oh. Like you'll just like imitate a funny sound bite and just send it to them to make them laugh.
That's
guess what I'm doing all weekend with Jake.
Hey. 100%.
So another really quick one that I'd be curious to what y'all think about in terms of, we talk about the etiquette around a bunch of this stuff too, is like, you know, is there pressure? Like if someone does it for you, do you feel the obligation to then do one back for them?
Voice memos in general. I think in general with text messaging, anytime receiving a message through that type of a mean, WhatsApp, Signal, like whatever, I feel pressure to like volley back. Like a tennis match, I do, no matter what it is. I may not respond the same way, right? To your point, if just because I get a voicemail, I might not respond with one, but I will respond.
I almost don't want to open
it.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's the Trish. Sorry, Trish. Sorry, yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what that's about, but
I almost don't want to open Pandora's box because I know we're almost at time, but I do want to then just throw one last one in there. Read receipts. Like them, hate them.
Mine are off. I don't want people to see what I'm reading.
Interesting.
Read them. No.
And see, mine are on because I want you to know I read it. And if I didn't respond, I got you. Like, I saw it. You don't need to keep following up with me. Like, I view it as the other way to be able to let them know, like, I did see this.
Yeah.
Do you use periods at the end of your messages too?
I do.
I'm gonna check.
I don't know if
I do. Well, I mean, I text you sometimes, and y'all could tell me. I don't even notice when I do. I will tell you that there's two things. One of which is I'm terrible with grammar and punctuation and stuff. No, but here's why. I'm married to a grammar Nazi. Like she just is so in. She's really good at grammar and spelling and everything, and I'm so bad at it that I'm like all caught up in my head when I send things to people because I'm like, oh no, did I put commas in the right places and. Like, it just stresses me out. So, yes, that's probably why, because I don't think I would if it weren't for, like, hearing Meg's voice in my head. But the other part of that, too, though, is I think sometimes when I'm, like, texting, I use Siri and voice the voice dictation for texting all the time. Like, 80% of the things that come out of me in a text, I probably dictated. And you can usually tell because I'm, you know, the word books got converted to boobs and I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing. But I just kind of assume you know that, right? Like,
right.
But do you type all your stuff out or do you text it?
99% type. I kind of forget you can do the voice to
oh, text. Man, it's so much faster. I just sit there and talk and, you know, and that then the commas and periods are all.
The same comment as the voice memos. I feel like I ramble on. If I'm just talking, I'm just going to keep talking versus like my text. I feel like I keep them clean. Oh. Keep them tight.
I gotta pare it down.
Yeah, man.
I'm a long-winded human anyway.
I ain't got time for that. If I don't hear from you over what period of time, if I don't hear from you, should I assume you're never going to respond or that you forgot? I'm trying to back into like how quickly you think you normally respond. You guys seem to be pretty quick to me, but like if it's been 2 days, can I assume you're either not going to respond or you forgot? For example?
Sometimes I'll go back and be like 3 days later and realize I didn't respond to some people.
Okay.
How do you realize that?
It's on my soul, and I know that they texted me, and I didn't get back to them.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do it.
So, but honestly, though, like, but you can remember that though that person texted you 3 days ago and without the little red dot on it.
Anything.
Wow. So I have to respond relatively quickly, otherwise, I guarantee you, I forgot. It's very simple for me. Like, it's that easy.
Yeah. I'll do scroll backs every once in a while, like over a weekend in the morning when everyone's sleeping. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to write back to Thomas.
Really?
I'm like, oh my God.
Because occasionally I will actually forget. But for the
see, and that's super interesting because of my read receipts. I actually won't tap on something. I will leave it there knowing that I have to deal with it.
There you go.
So I won't actually open it until I'm ready to deal with it.
That's a good way to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, I do have a couple of like ground rules in my life that are somewhat useful. Well, most of them aren't, but
look, guys, I think we've probably created a lot of debate out there. We're about out of time for today. Whether you text, call, send voice notes, we hope you picked up some gems today. Maybe you'll tweak some things. I don't know.
And remember, the Unmastered class is here to help make navigating this chaotic world a little bit easier and remind you that it's okay to laugh at yourself. And something tells me, much like someone telling me that I am not a sexy human because I wear socks in bed, I'm going to get some hate mail because I can't stand it when you're on FaceTime in the middle of public. But what do I know?
Well, Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you find your podcasts. And yes, please hit the subscribe button on YouTube too. It really helps us. Till next time, stay curious and keep mastering the unmastered. Love you guys.